Warning. Warning.
This show contains mature content. Listener discretion is advised.
Are you ready to get your mind blown?
One angry New York City Puerto Rican decided to start a radio show, determined to piss the world off by shoving a mirror in front of society's face. He kicked them in the balls.
What are you? Who are you?
This is the Crotch Shot Radio Show. Crotch Shot Radio Show.
This is not a test. This is a broadcast transmission.
We're going to stay on the air.
And now, the weepy. The weepy.
Welcome to the Crotch Shot Radio Show. Today, I'm going to be interviewing comedian Steve Whalen. We're going to be discussing, you know, open mic comedy here in New York City. Going to be discussing his career, where he comes from, what his likes and dislikes are. And as a fellow fluffy American, we're going to be discussing his favorite desserts.
Oh, nice.
We like to keep it real. So, Steve, how you doing, man?
Oh, I'm great. Thanks for having me. I feel good. How are you, man?
So far so good. Did an open mic. I life's not living unless I'm offending women.
Makes sense.
Yes. Yeah. at this point, it's like you're never gonna get laid. I'm like, you weren't fucking me in the first place. You have no power over me. So, let's get it started. You're from Staten Island, which is,
that's true.
According to Real New Yorkers, that would just basically mean you're from Jersey.
Yeah, Staten Island's interesting now that there's a couple of people that are starting to, like, for example, Pete Davidson is on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
That sort of created a new stir. There's a couple of, very young Staten Island comics creating a little bit of this scene. I thought that the Staten Island comedy generation skipped, like there was a big gap recently, so it's nice to see a little bit of it coming together.
Are you born and raised Islander?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
I'm sorry.
But it's nice to always be in Manhattan.
Yeah, they're starting to build it up. I mean, they got a new mall there. there's more and more people on meth going on.
Right,
there.
Right, exactly, yeah. It's like, they just put in a Cabaneros.
Nice.
But, I feel like that expansion, that hipster artistic expansion might actually be on the downturn. I think it's kind of cyclical in Staten Island, like the arts and culture scene. I think we're now back to a, like, just kidding phase that it would be like, oh, we're going to built this up. We have a great brewery, which they do have a great brewery.
Oh.
They got all these art scenes, communities, and museums, and then now I kind of think it's back to like the, and I don't know, maybe it's because it was just the winter, but I feel like it's back to the down cycle again. But certainly the comedy scene is starting to grow a tiny bit, which I appreciate.
Well, you would hope so, because, a place that's so fucking just sad.
Right, right. You think there'd be some.
I mean, I don't go to Staten Island a lot because I'm just afraid of getting my ass killed by, you know, racist black people.
Right, right. I live in Newdorp, so I guess that would be Tompkinsville.
Yeah. Like, once you get off the ferry, that Tompkinsville is by the ferry, right?
Tompkinsville and St. George are the closest.
Yeah, because, you know, a couple years ago, an Ecuadorian day laborer, you know, he was jumped and killed by a bunch of black guys there. Like, that's the thing to do, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, that's what happens when you live on an island, nothing to do. That's why, you know, as a Puerto Rican, that's why there are a bunch of Puerto Ricans. There was no cable on the island for a long time, so people just fucked. So. Ew. Boo. I know. That doesn't
I used to have a former boss of mine tell me, whenever I hear of the dawn of cable, it always reminded me of a depressing story that he would tell where he would say, every summer the kids would play and they would have fun, and then one day cable TV was invented and he never saw another child's face again.
Yeah.
So it kind of reminded me of that.
Yeah. Well, that's what, you know, you gotta do. So anyways, I mean, part of the reason why I wanted to have you on, because you, you sent an open letter to a major company. They are a major company. Yeah, I'm like not major.
They're a business.
Like yeah, they're like a company that that runs a lot of open mics here and growing. Yeah. They've been adding more and more open mics.
Sure are.
You know they charge to. They charge, $5 to sometimes 5 minutes.
Yeah.
For stage time, and you know, you wrote a letter and about them taking on another location, taking over a spot.
Two locations, a spot
yeah. from a free popular open mic. So you know, why don't you expand on that?
Well, I wrote a letter to Jeff Lawrence and the Laughing Buddha company
mm-hmm.
because what they did was I work in the Greenwich Village area, and it was a very quick walk for me to go to both the Greenwich Village Comedy Club and the Grizzly Pear. And one of my favorite mics was, there was a mic called Petey's World every Thursday at the Greenwich Village Comedy Club. That was run by a guy, still is run by a guy named Petey DeBreu, a good friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And one day, there were murmurings on the street at the Grizzly Pear that people weren't buying enough drinks. It was a free mic, but you should buy a drink. And then eventually became, they started to tighten the grip a little bit, and most everybody would buy a drink. And then suddenly one day...
You want me to read the letter? Because I found it.
The letter that I sent him?
Yes.
I suppose you can read the letter. Maybe I could just do a quick synopsis
for
you. I have the letter in front of me, too.
All right.
But long story short, one day, every mic at the Grizzly Pear was gone, and I was a little upset about that. A lot of people on Facebook were pretty upset about that. Then suddenly, all the mics at the Greenwich Village Comedy Club were gone, including Petey DeBreu's mic, which is one of the best mics in the city. And so I wrote this open letter where I said, you know, here's who I am. I said, I wrote this because you took over a mic. And I used the words took over and not replaced or filled in or something because that's what the company did. And you take these mics that were either free or they charged very minimal amounts, and you have them $5, in some cases $5 in a drink, which runs into $8-$10. And they have these weird restrictive policies that were like, you can't have a notebook, you can't have a phone out. And part of me would like to think that they're trying to create a supportive environment, but part of me is also thinking that they want you to think that taking one of their $300 comedy classes or taking one of their workshops is a way to get better instead of working on your stuff. I go to all those mics, and they're all sterile environments. They're all just a bunch of – I mean, anybody can be at a mic. It doesn't matter. But they're all just a bunch of college kids who have been doing comedy for 6 months or less looking at – you know, they finally were able to get on stage, and they're like, what else, because they had no time to prepare. And I think that I mentioned that the comedy went out of its way. It destroyed an entire community of people. This was in the Greenwich Village area, the McDougal Street area. There was two whole venues that had a great community in it, people that I loved to see. And I realized I might never have seen those people again, and that was like a third of the people that I hung out with from a comedic perspective. So, like, could you imagine if you did something in our community and then one out of three people you never saw again?
Mm-hmm.
So I sent the letter.
All right. Well, I mean, I was about to say something, and I just lost my thought. But anyway, while I'm thinking, let me read his response to your letter.
Sure. He was very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're reading the response that he posted on Facebook. I didn't share any information about the private response he sent me. He was very nice. Somebody sent it to me. I did not read it. I read the first sentence, and I thought, you know what? I said I wasn't going to read it. I'm not going to read it. So this will be the first time I'm hearing it. Go ahead. I mean, if you want. I'm not. Jeff was very nice, but I don't.
I'm gonna say yeah. This. You know, I'm not trying to kiss his ass or anything. He doesn't. You know, it's not like he does me favors. It's not like I'm getting anything out of this.
Yeah.
But Jeff to me, comes off as professional. Someone that's about the business of comedy. With the no notes, and no phones thing. Well, the no phones in the audience. That's that kind of makes sense to me because I've been at an open mic. Actually, a Laughing Buddha open mic where an audience member, not even a comedian, was on his phone and he was in the fucking front row.
Yeah.
And I had to fucking, bust, figuratively, break his balls about it. It's like, who the fuck are you, The no notes thing, that's usually just for, their 8 o'clock shows and stuff. But I've been to Laughing Buddha mics where, you could bring your notes on stage.
Yeah, but that's fine. The policy seems to be that you can't take out your notes until you get to the stage.
Oh, okay.
Which, in my opinion, is still kind of ridiculous. I know it's like a very small, it's a very small aspect of this issue, but I think they want to create a show environment to make these young and impressionable people feel like they are making it in terms of that they're already there and that they have to keep paying this money to get that feeling that they're there when they're really not working on anything to the maximum extent. Because when you're at an open mic, you have to be staring at your notes. You have to be figuring out what you're doing. So much of writing is staring at the wall and staring at your blank notebook. And I think what they're doing is that they are trying to create that atmosphere of a show, much the same way. It's almost like a mini bringer show where it's like you're making it, at the end of the night, you got $50 and you just did 5 minutes of comedy. Don't you feel good?
Yeah. Oh man, I hate bringer shows. It's like, well, it's mostly because it was like, okay, who are you going to get to pay fucking $20 to see you?
In Staten Island, they're back with a vengeance. That's also part of what bugs me is because of Pete Davidson's success, and Pete Davidson is so relatable to a young person because he's 21, he's very cool, he looks like your average kid
in high school. He's the one that his father died on 9/11, right?
His father, yes. And
I saw him at the roast. I didn't really find him funny.
Yeah, he was on the roast.
Yeah, I didn't really find him funny. I was like,
I heard the roast. I didn't see the roast. I haven't seen too much of Pete Davidson's stand-up. From what I've seen, he's pretty good. I don't really care to comment on him personally.
I haven't heard of him until I saw the roast because I don't watch SNL. It's like ugh.
Yeah, I just saw. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Saturday Night Live either. Granted, I would take the job in a heartbeat, but
true. And,
from what I've seen,
if only because you'll think, I'm gonna fucking improve the fuck out this show.
That's what everybody thinks, right? And then they go into the writer's room and they're tearing out their hair.
Yeah.
I think that's what's happening. Yeah. But, if they have incredibly talented writers like Hannibal Buress and stuff and they're churning out those sketches. But anyway,
Hannibal Buress writes for SNL?
I don't know if it was – it's certainly not now, but I think there was a period before. Oh. And if I'm wrong, just insert any talented name here.
Okay.
But anyway, because of super young guys like Pete Davidson making it, that's a huge thing for bringers. I remember this was a little while ago when the Impractical Jokers, who were from Staten Island, first hit it. Some of my sister's friends are bringer show comedians, and one of them was told by somebody who runs a venue that they were looking for the next Impractical Jokers and that if you keep doing bringer shows, that'll be like your opportunity to make it or whatever. And it's just, it's really like pure evil that you would con these people by saying, first of all, if I hear the word opportunity again, I'm going to bash my head in with a brick. I heard that a million times between all these Laughing Buddha conversations.
I'm surprised no one in the chat room starts screaming opportunity now, just so they could hear this. So, anyways, if anybody's listening, we got three people listening. Feel free and start chatting and typing in the live chat. If you're listening, just click that the speech bubble in the player, and you'll be taken to the chat, and you can start chatting, and I'll read your comments on the air, and we'll have some fun. But without any further ado, here is Jeff Lawrence's response to your email.
Sure.
Hi, Steve. Thank you for your email, and I appreciate you taking this to me and not airing it out on social media or anonymously slamming us on a review site.
If you don't mind, can I stop you there?
Oh, okay.
I've already read this email. This is the email he sent me.
Oh, okay. Well,
I don't mean to, but feel free to read as much as you want.
Yeah, this is.
But I have already read this.
Okay, so I'm just going to read this for the sake of the podcast then.
Sure, definitely.
I do understand your frustration, but I think you really need to air your grievances with the club owners that booked the mics. We have never targeted anyone's room or anyone's slot and have had numerous rooms taken from us in the past, which is true. I know firsthand what that is like. We asked Al Martin and the Grizzly Pair owners if they had any availability, and we took what is offered. I believe if these rooms were busy, they would not have been offered. But we don't make those decisions, nor can we just walk in and take over as you suggest. We are running numerous free mics at these locations as a service to comics who can't otherwise afford our mics. And anyone who lost a mic can contact me for comps if they wish. We often receive upwards of 200 requests for spots per day, and that includes many comedy veterans, so clearly we offer a service that is in demand. And when we turn comics away, we look for additional rooms to accommodate them. We do a tremendous amount of good to new comedians as well as veterans. That's why they come to us in droves. New York City is an enormous market of which we have a paltry share when you look at the big picture. You can call it unethical and deplorable, but that is what I think of comics who feel they are entitled to a room, even though they don't bring in enough business for a venue to survive. We vacated the Lantern, which is looking for open mic hosts for their slots. So if you wish to run a mic, just walk down the block and ask. It would take you as much time to find the mic room as it did to write your note. Wow. Okay, I have to take that one line. Blaming us for destroying a community of comics when we added 6 mics and abandoned 12 mic spots at the Lantern to 2 venues that offer about 15 to 20 mics weekly is a bit much. Lastly, I'm happy to offer that Thursday mic back to you and Petey and the gang. I like Petey very much, and again, have no idea who may have been in these slots. We could find other alternatives on Thursday. Just have him contact me, or please relay the message, Jeff. And this is from Jeff Lawrence. Yeah, well, that's all he put out there.
Oh, okay. Well, there was a little bit more. There's a part I liked where he said, "You're always welcome to send me a 5-minute tape." That got an audible laugh from me. That is 80% of what he sent back to me. Maybe I should have read it a bit more carefully because I didn't realize, I guess there were a couple of barbs thrown in, but that's fine. He mentioned, I didn't want to get too specific, I guess it's too late now, but he mentioned some things where he said he booked a Letterman audition. For all of these people, I mean, anybody can get an audition. For all of these people that he's helping, there's just hundreds of people that are being ripped off every day by these mics that he claims are helping them, but they're just money pits. And he says the word free. I went to – the mic is back, by the way, and I'd like to thank a ton of people for that. It was really a community effort. But the mic was not back last week. It was gone last week. Mm-hmm. And I went there, and I didn't go up. I didn't lose any money. I just went there to scout a little bit. I haven't talked to Jeff in person ever in my life. But it wasn't free. They charged you. You had to buy a drink. So, and they tweeted that it was free. So from day one, they were being less than truthful with their customers. And I use the word customers because I don't think they really care about artistic growth or about making people better or about giving people opportunities. I think they'd rather just make money. I know they make hundreds of thousands of dollars. There's virtually no overhead.
Well, I mean, look, there's nothing wrong with making... let me play devil's advocate. There's nothing wrong with making money. I mean, if there's...
At the expense of others, there is.
Mm-hmm. Noreen, the Neon Moose. Okay, I don't know how to pronounce that. Steve Whalen rocks. Comedy shouldn't be all about money, and it doesn't need to be at this level.
I know who that is. Thank you. I appreciate it, and thank you very much. She's a fan of mine. She's very cool.
Oh, okay.
And she's right, though. I mean, this is not. This is not like a punk move or something, or me sending out any message of hate. They took something from us, and I think that Jeff was very nice. I mean, now that I look at the mail, maybe he was a little harsh in some ways, but that's fine. Mm-hmm. Certainly was not less harsh than I was. I threw in some barbs. I said he should close the company, which I still think he should. But he took spots that were there for the people, and in some cases they were there was money being exchanged. There were spots like Petey's mic, one of my favorite mics. It's $2, but hey, it's an amazing mic, and $2.
I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
All righty, are we back? All right, we're back. I don't know what the fuck just happened. I gotta get. We lost internet for a few minutes. I was able to get it working again. We're gonna. Yeah, so we're back up. All right, calling Steve again. Get him back up here. Alrighty, what's up?
All right,
we're back.
Sorry about that.
Well, no, it was me. I lost internet too. So.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. So yeah, we're both sucked.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, there were things. If I can get back to just what we were talking about. Jeff was very nice, but there were a lot of things that. I feel that he strongly believes about his company that I really don't, which is placing, he sort of placed the onus on that, on the owners of the club, saying they come to me, stuff like that, and I don't know about the spots, they ask us, and I think he's wrong. I think that's somewhat similar to what something that like a mob boss would say, where they would say, I have services, people just come to me. I mean, what they did was they, the number one thing that bugged me was that there was a community that was there that was gone. And that was because of a company that wanted to make money.
Okay. Well, I mean, look, if they're, like, we do live in a capitalist society.
Yeah.
If, you know, if he has a service, he's trying to, you know, he, you know, I'm thinking about taking one of his stand-up comedy class to, you know, hopefully improve my craft. You know, if he's like producing all these,
are you thinking of taking one?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you know, the only reason why I haven't taken it yet is because I don't have the money to do it.
It's a lot of money, right? I think it's $275.
Well, I mean, when compared to other places that have stand-up comedy classes, it's pretty much on par. I mean, it's pretty much the standard rate.
I personally think I haven't been doing comedy for a very long time, but from what I've seen, the best way to learn is to go out there and, for lack of a better word, get yourself out there, go to as many places as you can and meet as many people and write every day. I don't know. There's some things you can learn from a class, but I think you can learn mm-hmm. a lot of those things free online by watching YouTube videos, watching you can see, I think Ralphie May has this great stand-up bootcamp video. There's so many free resources out there that I think a class is – I just think that – and I think this was – a lot of people say this about some improv groups that – It really isn't in their best interest for you to pass the class, because then you take it again and you give them the money again. Mm. It's not like a driver's ed course or something. There's not really that much accountability involved because it's a craft as well as an art. It's not college. It's not because it's art and it's very hard to gauge, like, and I've never taken an improv class. I don't know the in-depths of it, but I literally think some of those UCB, I won't get too specific, but I think some improv classes are literally pass-fail. And what is that like?
Hmm.
The guy just takes you by the arm and says, hey, buddy, sorry, you got to come back. That'll be $300.
Right. I mean, but some college courses are like that. In fact, almost all college courses are like that. If you fail, you gotta pay again.
Yes, but it's their standards. What happens with them? The college has accountability. If everybody everybody's failing a college, they're gonna look into the college. If everybody's failing a comedy class, they're not. Nobody can say, hey, what's wrong with this comedy class? Because they can just deflect and they can just say, well, they weren't very good.
Well, that's when the free market takes over and you like, okay, look, I'm going to write a bad review on Yelp or other places and be like, look, this class is fucking shit.
But then there will be dozens of people coming from college, young impressionable comedians, people who have seen Last Comic Standing. They will all be lining up. It doesn't matter.
Well, you never know. I mean, especially since these new people coming out there, people are getting more and more tech savvy. People are more and more, likely to check on reviews before they buy.
It's all disposable income. All their money is from people with disposable income.
But still.
But then don't take my stuff. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
It was a great community, and then they basically took it out. I mean, I use the word take over because they didn't replace it. They didn't fill in for it. They took it over. They took it from a community, and now that company is just preying on young, impressionable comics, people who are either not going to be doing it in 6 months, which is fine. It's their prerogative, but there's some people who truly think that this is the key to success. They look at people like, for example, like Pete Davidson, who I woke up and I read a Splitsider article that was like, look at this guy on Saturday Night Live. I didn't know who he was, but he worked every day since he was like 14, 15. He went out there, and that's how he got good. And these people think that because they're young, they don't know any better. They don't understand that, you know, the vast, vast majority, I'm going to say 99.9% of them, do not understand that you need to go out every day. You need to talk to people. You need to do mics. You need to write every day. You need to watch a lot of stand-up. You need to understand joke science and things of that nature. They think that, okay, I went to a show, I brought people with money. At the end of the night, I did my set. No matter how well I did or whatever, I got $50. I'm making it.
Okay. I mean, so how do you...
They also took over shows there. Laughing Buddha took over shows that were there, not just mics, at the Grizzly Pear. Mm-hmm. Which I think that... I didn't even think of that when I was writing this, but to me, that's also really shameful. Because that's a show. That's not even a mic. That's someone... something that somebody's working on that they just that's not something that you can say, oh, it's the owner's decision. Come on. A lot of blame deflecting I noticed happened, which I was not very happy about. I thought it was a little deceitful. But ultimately, the mic is back as of today, and I'm more than a little optimistic that it will be around for a very long time, as long as PD wanted to do it.
So what made you why do you think that the mic was allowed to return?
I think the mic returned because the letter I posted got so much response from a lot of people on Facebook, a lot of people in that community, that a lot of people, the amount of support I got was overwhelming.
Ladies and gentlemen, the free market works.
No, but that's not the free market, because if I didn't say anything, nothing would happen.
Of course, but that's the free market. You know, you are the catalyst, and if it wasn't for people that supported...
Do you think that Mike is making more money now than it would have before?
I don't know. I've never been to that Mike, but the fact that, you know, if it wasn't...
Why is Wikipedia more successful than the Encyclopedia Britannica?
Because it's free.
Because everybody came together to make it.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, because, you know...
That's the opposite of the free market.
Okay, well, I'm just saying, if people choose, people are voting with their wallets, essentially. No matter what, that is free market.
If I didn't say anything, nothing would have happened. It would have been taken over.
Okay, well, that's what I'm saying. Because you did say something, you were able to gain support, and people, inspired by you, voted with their wallets and decided to say something themselves and support what you said.
I think what okay. I essentially disagree with that
okay.
is that there were more wallets being opened for that mic. People were buying drinks. Everybody was buying a drink. There were people lined up. There were a lot of people there. And there were all the people that email in, all the young college people with the extra time and the extra money, those people were all there. So there was something special that brought the mic back. And okay. I don't know ultimately if it was Jeff or Al. I certainly know that Petey was he must have been rallying for it. But Petey, I thank above all else, because I wasn't really in the trenches. I wrote this letter. I didn't write any. He wrote back what he did. He said that he was going to give Petey the mic back. He then mentioned giving him back a Wednesday spot. So he didn't want to bring the mic back. He wanted to bring a mic back. So initially, I thought that place would probably have to settle for that. If you told me the mic was going to come back a couple days ago, I would not have believed you. So I was very obviously pleasantly surprised that the mic was back, but I don't know if it's a free market issue. I think it's just people speaking up and people responding, because it's probably making less money now, but it's still better that the community is preserved.
Okay, well, we'll agree to disagree, because I think it's, you know, it like, I don't know, because it, you know, they could have just ignored you. And it probably
didn't. And I'm forever grateful for who ultimately made the decision.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. I don't think bad reputations last that long in comedy.
You'd be surprised, especially in this climate now. I mean, look at what happened with Kramer. I mean, I don't think he could get. I don't think he still hasn't recovered from him screaming nigger at people.
Well, he didn't. I don't think that it's his goal to be... He's making $40 million a year off residuals. He doesn't have to work.
All right, well...
I don't think he's really crying over it. And I mean...
Well,
if that's the one example, I don't know.
He was worried enough to apologize about it. Or, I mean, look at Paula Deen. What's Paula Deen doing now? Well, of course, she's not a comedian, but, you know, she'll always be haunted by the fact that, you know, even though she had a gun to her face and she was pissed.
Well, we don't know if that story is true. She also did a lot of things that were also very unacceptable. Okay. Like, she said that she wanted to do a party in which black people were dressed up as slaves. I mean, that's some pretty reprehensible stuff. People act like she got fired. She didn't get fired. They just didn't renew her contract, and I certainly wouldn't want her representing my company.
All right, well. That's not a, you know. I'm for freedom of speech no matter what, but...
I'm for freedom of speech, but I'm not for freedom from consequences.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, you know, the only time you're free from consequences is from the government itself, not from private corporations.
People say these things. What did they expect? Did they expect people to just be like, "Oh, whatever, that's freedom of speech"? Saying some nasty things, be like, "Hey, I don't like you."
That's also a free market issue. If somebody says something you don't like, because people are choosing not to support you, so that's, you know, it's not freedom of consequence. Of course you're gonna get your dick.
No, because what you're essentially saying is that you're saying, for example, that Michael Richards did not get work because of what he said.
Yes.
But you believe that he should have the freedom of speech to say that. Okay. And he did have the freedom of speech.
Yeah, he did. So he got...
But he's dealing with the consequences right now of what he's saying.
Exactly. All right, then.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on. Have you heard about the Sarah Silverman thing about the whole wage gap, which has been like debunked many, many, many times?
Many times?
Well, yeah.
What is this referring to? Sarah Silverman being paid less than Todd Barry
Yes.
I'm not too familiar with that. I think I might have seen somewhere that. I don't really know Al Martin that much, at all. I've never talked to him in person. I've never talked to him via email. I love the Greenwich Village Comedy Club, but I really only did the mics there. I never really, some shows, but not, you're still here, right? You can hear me?
Yeah, yeah.
What okay. What was I getting at? But, I hadn't really heard about that. What's happening right now?
Yeah, okay, well, let me play the video. Because she tells the story how she was paid.
Seen that video.
Oh, you've seen that video. Okay, so let me play for the sake of the listeners.
Todd Barry made $50 and she made $10?
Well, yeah. Okay, she went up to Al Martin, and Al Martin gave her $10 for cab fare. And, you know... That's the thing. She was like, "Oh, because I'm a woman, you know, I got paid less." But you know, he made Al Martin made a rebuttal video, which I'm going to play right now.
Sure.
And you know, because he's like, "This is the story." So here it goes.
Hi, Sarah Silverman. Al Martin here. It's been a long time. We haven't spoken. And I noticed your video on the internet yesterday. And the quality was real good, but I could tell you that the content was absolutely false. You see, when you're going to tell a story on the internet, you should be truthful. And the truth is that you were not booked on that show in question that evening. You were a guest spot. You came in with Todd Barry. Todd Barry was a booked spot that night. And at the end of his spot, he received his pay. You did your guest spot, left, you started talking to Todd outside, I guess you found out he was paid, assumed you should get paid, then you came back to me and asked for pay. I felt bad, you were starting to get some stuff on TV, and I didn't want to have a bad relation with you, so I decided to give you some cab fare. Apparently you misunderstood that, to say that I pay women less than men, which is a totally unsubstantiated charge. My wife is a woman. Here's a bulletin for you. My wife is a woman. And I'd be very upset as a teacher that works long hours if she didn't get the same as a male in the same job. My daughter works for a company. And if she didn't get the same pay as a male, I'd be pretty upset. As a matter of fact, Sarah, I have 3 daughters. And I have a mother. And if she didn't get paid as much, I'd have been pretty upset as well. You know our comic community, Sarah. There's no way that I can get away with paying men more than paying women. But if there's a guest spot, basically the rule is, it's a guest spot. I didn't ask you to be on that show 15 years ago.
And it was 15 years ago?
I would have paid you what the other comics were getting paid on the show. So here is...
Okay, so basically she...
Was he implying in the video that he would get mad if women were paid less than men?
Yeah, because he
should be pretty mad then.
Yeah, I mean, he's talking about, look, I have a wife that's a teacher. I have a daughter.
Yeah.
You know, if they were getting paid less, I would be pissed off. And he says, look, it's a good endeavor. And look, honestly, again, like a whole free market thing here. It's stupid to fucking pay women less for equal work. It's not it's not good business. You know, he even said
but
it.
That,
he even said but, it. Like, look, if I can't get away with that shit. If I was paying women comedians less, my dick would get kicked in. Are you kidding me?
That's a now, situation. Yeah, that specific situation, honestly, I'm trying to think of a polite way to say it. Like, I don't want to say the word care, but it's just that, like, what happened is between them, but, and I don't know if anyone's telling the truth or not, I think to use that as a weapon to imply that everything's fine in terms of women making as much as men, and that maybe some women are being deceitful about that is wrong, that I do think that there is an income disparity, that women are making less money than men. And I do think that happens in comedy, too. I think they get fewer opportunities, and especially if you count New York, not just Manhattan, but if you count all 5 boroughs, in Staten Island, Long Island, mm-hmm. there's tons of shows. 9 white men, 1 woman.
Okay, I mean, could it be because not a lot of women, they're you know, more men are going for it than women, though?
No, it's not that at all. It's just that these people don't reach out and try to have more women on their shows.
Okay, and that's kind of silly because, I mean, okay,
no, but that's true. Though.
So we're supposed to as like, okay, let's say I'm a producer, so
yeah.
I'm supposed to go out my way and try to search for female talent when there are people coming to me.
You can produce shows for whoever you want, but to imply, to say, where are all the funny women? Where are all the funny minorities? It's incredibly patronizing. They're all there. They're just not being considered.
I mean, but are they going out for those? I mean, you know...
Are they going around and asking for spots? It doesn't matter who's asking for spots.
Look,
it's the producer's ability to find someone.
Okay, well, I mean...
The show.
I'm talking about as far as myself. I've gone to open mics, and lot of the times, I'm the only Latino there.
Okay. What does that mean?
I mean, you know, it should... Is it because Latinos are not going to these open mics, or Latinos are not being, you know?
They're there. You got to find them.
Yeah, I mean it's like, you know, so you know I have to do the legwork. I mean, when I go out.
So you're the producer. You produce the show. You do all the work.
Oh, okay. Well,
I've listened to your show a couple of episodes. And I did understand coming in that we have a lot of fundamental disagreements when it comes to social issues.
Mm-hmm. I mean, me, I'm a Ron Paul supporter.
That's fine. I think that I'm not a libertarian. I'm a liberal. But I think that For example, I don't like him. I don't like his son, certainly. But I didn't want to get too political.
I'm not a big fan of his son either. His son's a fucking neocon. He's not a libertarian like his father. I'm sorry.
But I think that's something that libertarians say to deflect. He's not one of us. I like to think of it this way. A libertarian makes a bad lifeguard because they see somebody drowning and think and say they must have done something to deserve it.
I wouldn't say that. a libertarian puts a sign that says, like, look, riptides. And, you know, be careful. They're fucking riptides here. And you choose to swim out there. And it's like, well, God bless.
Yeah, see, I agree with that. But I think you might think that's noble, and I might think that's not.
Well, look, but... I don't think it's, like me, I'm a fucking diabetic. Do I think the government should pay for me, to be a fucking fat fuck? No, it's not fair. It's my decision, and it's a decision, and I'm making the decision to try to lose weight because.
But if you didn't have government programs to help pay for medical breakthroughs, you might be in a lot more trouble than you are right now.
Probably, and it's a life is full of consequences.
What I'm saying, when people pull together, we can help each other a lot more than individually.
Yeah, but what has liberalism done, though? All it's done is going to tax the rich. We're going to tax the rich. Yeah. All of it does.
We barely tax the rich in this country.
Yeah, because,
And look at where we are economically.
If we
tax the rich...
They'll leave.
If we tax the rich, the percentage, because people think, the rich get taxed like 70% or something. They don't understand how taxes work, but that's all on a scale. But I think we might be... Let's go back to the other topic we were angry about, women. I do think there is, with women and minorities, I do in particular...
like me, I'm at, you've heard my shows. I'm kind of...
Yeah.
Like, I'm not... I'm not for keeping women down. I'm egalitarian, however you pronounce that word.
Egalitarian?
Egalitarian. There you go. Thank you, finally. Like a couple of my guests don't even know how to pronounce that. Egalitarian. Yeah, there you go.
But I think that's a lot of responsibility deflecting. I think that... people who are producers, for example, in the comedy world, these people are out there. They're just not looking for them. And I understand that it's in your comfort zone. Certainly, people book their friends a lot more than other people? Of course they do. But you have to go out and you have to...
I mean, look, I produce this radio show. I produce it myself. Yeah. I've had women on this show. Black centric, African centric people.
Sure.
I've also had person who exposes black racism. I've even had freaking the chick from the Westboro Baptist Church on here. I mean, I understand having to.
The lady who's the head of it now.
What?
The lady who is the head of it now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
cool.
I've had. She's nuts, but
she's a loony tune.
She's nuts. I totally understand as a producer to search out stuff. I mean, I'm trying. I try to do unsigned artist shows, and I put out the call. Hey, if you're an EDM producer, if you're this producer, send me your stuff.
And, EDM, like music?
Yeah, electronic dance music.
Oh, okay,
or
cool.
Stuff like that. I've gotten zero response. Like, I've asked for, even rock bands. Hey, free exposure. Free exposure. Just give me permission to play your stuff on my podcast. And I will promote you. Like, because I've done unsigned artist listening shows. To try to, discover new talent. It's not like I have a pulse on a line on people who could how to get record deals, but hey, it's
It's difficult to be a producer, but it doesn't have to be if you surround yourself with the right people.
Yeah, but who are the right people?
You have to go out and find them.
You got I'm just saying, but what's easier? If there are people coming to you already, like you put out a call and you know, like 10 white guys show up let's be fair. Like just 10 men show up.
Sure.
You know, you want a woman, but you know, these 10 men show up, they do what they got to do. What? You're supposed to go out and search for that one woman yourself and put the offer on a fucking golden plate? Like
I'm saying,
you know, come on. It gets to be ridiculous. Like, stop.
You're creating these scenarios in which if I have 100% of men go up and ask me something, where are all the women? The women are out there. This is comedy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know,
you have a whole city full of women.
I'm trying to play devil's advocate here. I mean,
and I'm trying to play the Exorcist. Okay. out foul demon.
Okay. Yeah.
But they're out there. I mean, if you're a producer, it's genuinely not that difficult to find women and minorities, and I find it a little, unsettling that. You know, in Manhattan, I still see a lot of shows where there'll be maybe one woman or a popular thing now because of Sasheer Zamata being on SNL was that you find one person who's a double minority, like a black woman or something, and then people think that counts double. But, you know, diversity is a strength. It's not a weakness.
I'm not saying it isn't. I'm just saying, you know... It doesn't seem fair to say, well, you know, the women are not getting enough opportunity if, you know, as a man, you have to search for the opportunity.
You have to search for the opportunity. Wait, are you mean as a producer?
No, that... no, as a comedian, as like me, like, you know, when
are you suggesting that women don't have to search for opportunities as much as men?
Well, no, I'm just saying. No, I'm saying they have to, but if they're not, like I just want to know the real number. If they're really being denied opportunities, if that's a real fair assessment that they're being denied opportunities, or they're just not looking for them.
There's no doubt in my mind that producers all over Manhattan are not looking for as many women and minorities as they can.
In this climate, how can they get away with that? In this climate, especially...
How can who get away with that? I'm a little confused.
How can these producers get away with denying minorities and women in this political climate now?
What political climate?
I'm talking... You know, we have a black president now. You know... Like things are more, you know, there are more and more biracial people. You know, feminism has, feminism.
I'm a feminist.
Well, have a good day. No, I'm just kidding.
You believe that women should have equal rights to men?
Yeah, I'm a good.
I got news for you.
Yeah. No. Look,
you're a feminist.
I'm not a feminist. Fuck that. I would rather die of AIDS.
Are you a humanist?
Egalitarian. I believe everyone should be equal. You're egalitarian. Like, I mean, you're talking to someone that was falsely accused of rape. You're talking to someone that, growing up, I used to get my ass kicked.
If you believe men and women should have equal rights, you are a feminist.
No, bullshit. Because you know, especially third wave feminism, modern feminism, it's not about being equal. It's about female superiority.
In what way?
Women want more rights. They want more rights.
They want equal rights.
They want more rights. They want the same privileges of being a man with none of the work. They want to be daywalkers from Blade.
Good reference.
Thank you.
But I know that there is nothing in my power that I could probably say that could convince you otherwise.
No, because I've lived through it. I've been punched in the face by a woman, and the moment I go to try to defend myself, there are 15 guys ready to fight for her. thinking that they're going to get some pussy. Or either that, or I'm the one that gets threatened to with the expulsion if I freaking put a hand on her. Even if I was punched in the face unprovoked.
It's actually
happened when junior high school. I used to get my ass handed to me, they used to play kick the fat boy in the balls, and one time one chick caught me on a good day and I almost got suspended.
That's fine, but
that's modern feminism for you. Look online. That one chick on the subway. She's berating this guy. He walks away, and he's like, "Yo, why are you being so mean? Oh, you sound stupid." And then he's like, "All right, well then you're a dirty bitch." And she freaking beats him in the head with a fucking heel.
So you're letting one situation speak for entire.
No, there are many situations. There are many situations. Modern feminism is not about equal rights. It's about infantilizing women.
I would disagree with you in that. I would disagree with you about that entirely. But
I don't know.
Yeah. We just have very different policies. Yeah.
And that's part of my comedy. Like I talk shit about. This one joke I had that I said at an open mic. I'm like, women are so ridiculous nowadays that if an app came out called Anonymous Fuck Friends came out, they would be going to open mics complaining about how guys they click like to were talking about sex on Anonymous Fuck Friends. Yeah. Either that or, the whole 50 Shades of Grey. I mean, I can't wait for 50 Shades of Grey Twilight to come out where...
That was based on a Twilight fan fiction.
Yeah. 50 Shades of Grey Twilight came out. It's set in the future. Anastasia is no longer young and beautiful, but Christian Grey is still a fucking billionaire. So he takes her out back and shoots her in the head.
I see.
Yeah, it's like, it's time for a replacement. You're old, useless. See, that's how it goes.
Right. We have different comedic philosophies. I'm a clean comic.
Yeah.
You seem to be a bit edgier than me.
Oh yeah, I swing for the fences.
Yeah, I see.
Like I swing for the fences. I don't like it gets to the point where it's like, okay, and this is something I learned from Colin Flaherty, who I interviewed a couple podcasts back. Sure. And he says, like, look, don't apologize for telling the truth. Always tell your truth.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got your own truth. I got my own truth. I respect you for your truth. I respect you for the balls you had to, send Jeff that letter.
Thank you. I actually do appreciate it. I above all, I really do have to thank the community. Because them coming together, I think, brought the mic back and brought awareness about these corporations and these systems more than just one letter could do.
Yeah, I mean, and me and where we disagree, I kind of do believe that Jeff has a right to have a company that caters to that. He saw that there's something in the market where he thought, okay, I can make money producing open mics and perhaps maybe, have classes and people will buy. And if these bars think that it's profitable for them to allow Jeff to do shows in their establishments, then it's on them. I mean, but,
It's a multifaceted issue, but I will say that.
I mean, the bar is a business. The bar has to make money because, hey, they employ people. I don't see anything wrong.
It's a business, but I wouldn't call it an honest business.
Yeah, but the thing is, if you were to make it in comedy, wouldn't you want to be paid for your work?
But there's a difference between my work and copying and exploiting the work of others.
How so?
What he's doing what that company is doing is they are taking money from impressionable young comics and some older comics, some veterans, and they are taking that money and they were denying services, they were denying mics that were there, they were taking over those places. They're giving these illusions that they're advancing in their craft and in their artistry when it's really just a money pit. To me, the classes of that are it's really an enigma that they would much rather have you take a class multiple times, take multiple level classes, take classes that have different aspects to them where it's like, oh, did you take the comedy workshop? You can now take the crowd work workshop. You can now take the running your own show class. Mm-hmm. They're more interested in making money than their mission statement of building any kind of a community or building any kind of...
Okay. And, of course, you know, they're like you said, they're alternatives. What alternatives, if you could, like, repeat again and expand, what alternatives would you do to... Like, what do you do to make yourself a better comic?
Every day, I write 5 jokes. I rework an old joke, and I bring back one that was long gone. I go out to mics. I do my best to go out to mics every day, 6 or 7 days a week, multiple mics. I test stuff with other people. I'm with other people all the time. I'm with a great comedy collective, and we enjoy working with each other and certainly coming up with new things. If it's not stand-up bits, it's videos, it's plays, it's stuff of that nature. And all of that stuff makes you better. Stand-up is one of the few things that it's one of the few art forms that it seems that you can really only get better the more you do it. And that's really from being deep within like a close-knit community, certainly more than any kind of sterile, lifeless environment than something that, like the Laughing Buddha Company could provide, in my opinion. But another way that you can help with the community things, you can start your own mic. You can do a free mic. You can support free mics, you can support venues that run free mics.
There's a lot out there. Yeah, I mean, I do free mics all the time, especially in my neighborhood. In fact, I want to produce my own mic. I just don't know how to go about doing it.
I'm sure there's plenty of venues that would be happy to have you.
Oh, I've asked around. They're like, no, we want to make money.
That's the free market.
Yep.
But I'm sure you can find... I'm sure there's somewhere out there. I'd be completely serious. I'm sure there's somewhere out there you can find it. And honestly, if you got to charge a buck or two, that's fine. But, you know, there's free mics out there. There's venues like Creek in the Cave is a great venue that has a lot of free mics. There's all sorts of...
You know, I go to Creek in the Cave all the time. It's just like, ugh, right? I mean, it's a free mic. It's a fun play. Well, I don't know. It's just that, you know, I don't know, you don't get...
I like the Creek in the Cave. I think some people might give it garbage, but I really like it.
It's much, you know, you don't get much support.
I don't know. I think cream rises in comedy. I think that that was another big argument, was that support was another word that was thrown out a lot, and that they were saying, oh, the mics are so supportive, that the environments that they create are so supportive. But I think that's all a level of deception created by that environment, that people feel, oh, I've spent money, I have to be supportive, I can't have my notebook out, I can't have to, you know, all these things. And I think that if you really work as hard as you can, if you really grind it out, I think you can turn any room around. I think anybody who says something where they say, oh, I have trouble performing in an urban room, I have trouble performing in a hipster room, I have trouble performing in front of old people, I have trouble performing in front of whatever, you just have to be funny. You just have to keep working at it.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
And I certainly...
The Creek in the Cave is definitely a hipster room.
I don't know. I think some parts... It depends on your definition of hipster, but I think there's some parts where there's a lot of... you can still hear a ton of dick jokes all the time if you go to some of those mics. There's a lot of, for lack of a better word, mainstream comedy. There's a lot of women be different than men type comedy. A lot of did you ever notice? I don't think it's a very artsy scene in particular.
Yeah.
It depends on your definition of hipster.
Hipster,
if you mean clicky, then I suppose I could see your point.
Yeah, well, hipster, a bunch of freaking handlebar mustache having motherfuckers.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely not at the Creek.
Yeah.
Maybe a couple years ago.
So, actually, hold on. We got some comments here in the chat room.
Sure.
There are companies that make money off young actors, young musicians, and young comedians, yes, says Noreen, and she continues to say, making them feel classes are necessary.
Yeah.
I have an acquaintance that sells acting classes, in quotation marks, sure, to children. She poses as a Disney scout.
Exactly. Oh, man. Acting is insane. I tried auditions very briefly. Actors were some of the most hopelessly delusional people I've ever met, and I feel that whole world, I feel so different than any other art form, because it's I feel like it's so incredibly difficult, 100 million times more difficult to succeed in acting than it is in stand-up, because there's not as much of an impression left. I feel like there's a piece of paper with your name on it, they can just throw it out and forget you forever, whereas with stand-up, they remember everything that you were about because you were up there presenting yourself.
Yeah. I mean, and of course, you know, with YouTube out there, you know, people could produce their own content now.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. And that's great.
Yeah. Christy in the chat room says boring. Thank you, Christy.
Okay.
She laughs. And then she goes, oh, brother, World War III coming up soon. Yes. Yes, men versus women.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
In your opinion.
I can't wait till these stuck up bitches try something. I can't. Actually, it's really not fair to tell women to go back to the kitchen, because who the fuck cooks anymore? It's like,
I suppose that's one way to justify how saying that could be mean.
Yeah, I mean.
Oh, like, boy. Any other comments, if you don't mind me asking?
Yes, I don't call women bitches because female dogs are loyal.
Okay.
In fact, I would rather call them mollies, because mollies are female cats, and no matter how well you treat a cat, they'll fucking try to scratch your eyes out. Calling a woman a whore is kind of inaccurate, because a lot of them don't know how to suck dick good enough.
This is the comments.
Yeah. Oh, yes, these are the comments.
Oh, those are the comments?
I thought you were talking about my own comments.
Wait, no, with
whoops. All right. Yeah, no, that's it. Those are the comments. No more comments.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad that there was some level of support through the comments. I think once again we disagree.
Yeah.
Socially on a lot of issues, especially with the ladies.
And that's fine.
But
fine.
It is fine. Yeah. But oh, what a doozy of a show, huh?
Yes. I hope you had fun.
I did have fun. Thank you very much. Do you do plugs on your podcast?
Yes, go ahead. You got any
shows? Oh, thank you so much.
You got any shows?
I'm part of I briefly mentioned that I was part of a comedy collective. That comedy collective is called Mighty Comedy. MIGHTY Comedy. You can check that out at mightycomedy.tumblr.com. You can see my Twitter is at Stephen W. Whalen, StephenWhalen. Every week I post videos, particularly on YouTube. I'll post a video of one of my jokes. You can see that on Twitter. And that is pretty much it.
So
I really appreciate the opportunity.
Okay, I'm adding this to the description now. So,
sure.
HTTP, mightycomedy.tumblr.
Like Mighty Mouse, yeah, Mighty Comedy.
Mightycomedy.tumblr.com.
Yeah, whatever the Tumblr thing is. Yeah, tell them check it out on Tumblr.
Yep. So, yeah, just check it out. Mightycomedy.tumblr, and that's spelled TUMBLR.com. And again, Steve just mentioned it. Go,
Yeah.
Okay.
But at Stephen W. Whalen.
Yeah, that's twitter.com/Stephen with a PH. That's STEPHENW Whalen, which is spelled WHALEN on the Twitters. So definitely follow him if you like him and hate me. No, I'm just kidding.
One out of two ain't bad, maybe.
Yeah, well, yeah.
But no, seriously. Oh, thank you so much. This was really a lot of fun.
Yeah, you're welcome to come back anytime you want. Just say, hey, you know, I wanted to do a show. And I'm like, all right, let's do this.
All right, cool, man. Thanks so much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right.
All right, that was Stephen Whalen. Definitely check him out. Go to the description. Also, if you want to help support the show, feel free to go to the description and shop through the Amazon link. Everything helps the show keep going. And, yeah, and as always, from my house to your house, mahalo.
That's the end of my show, Donk.